How are the victims doing now? I know at least a year after this horrible episode, Leonard, some of them were very sick, psychological impact on them. How are they doing now?
Right. Well, I've been in touch with them on and off during the past couple of years. And as of a couple of months ago, still, there were 11 of them who had suffered inhalation disease. Five of them died, six survivors, but only one of the six survivors was fully recovered and back to work. Just a couple of months ago, five of them still had symptoms. Now, it's not clear whether it's only psychological or whether what they feel are still some residual physical problems, muscle aches, fatigue early, inability to walk long distances without getting tired. And some of these people were in excellent, perfect physical shape in their late 30s, early 40s, but now are, at least in one case, physical wrecks. One of them has to walk with a walker. So it's not clear, because we've had so little experience with the results of inhalation anthrax, it is not a common disease in groups of people around the world. It's very rare that somebody breathes in anthrax, certainly in a natural situation. So they're not doing great, but as time goes on, they seem to be improving.
Leonard, there are some theories that say that some in government who expected, knew of the 9/11 tragedy, and they basically turned away necessarily because they wanted a reason to be able to do some other things worldwide. Be that as it may, what are the possibilities, or can we rule out the possibilities that these anthrax attack, this anthrax series of attacks, was based on some sinister form of government or some people in government who wanted to just keep the heat on? Can we rule that out?
Well, I have to believe we would rule it out. Since I don't know who did it, there's no way that I can say with 100% certainty that any of the suppositions, theories, no matter how far out they may seem, could be true or not true. But based on anything that I know and everything that I know, I can't imagine anybody who is a responsible person in government who would have gone ahead with this kind of thing. Now, one of the theories out there is that whoever did it had experience with the government, if not actually a member of the government, but had worked in government laboratories, maybe have had access to some of these bacteria that were in government laboratories, and maybe understood how the bacteria could be processed because of the work that government had been done. Years ago, we used to have our own biological weapons stockpile. We did away with that in 1969.
Well, we are supposed to have done away with it,
yes,
right?
We are supposed to have. And I don't know of any reason to believe that we don't have, that we're not living up to that, that requirement. On the other hand, I quickly recognize that we do have a biodefense program. And in the course of understanding and learning how you can best defend yourself, you do grow up some of these organisms. So, unlike any other weapon, a biological material or biological weapon, if it's going to, a bacteria is going to be used as a weapon, you have to depend on the intent and the integrity, rather than just make a judgment, as you might say, if you know that, as is in the case in Iran, when you know that they've accumulated certain kinds of fuel, uranium processing materials,
yes,
that you just know that they're doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. But if there's a little bit of anthrax in an appropriate government laboratory, it doesn't mean that they're doing something illegally by any means, because anthrax is a germ, and it gives rise to a disease that we want to learn about. So there are medical people, there are government people, and other research scientists who do look at this for legitimate purposes. But I have no information or knowledge whatsoever that would suggest that we're in serious violation. By serious violation means that we're stockpiling or have intent to stockpile large numbers of germ weapons.
Leonard, is anthrax something where somebody could take a little bit in a vial in some laboratory and put it in his pants and kind of walk out? Can he get away with it like that and then keep this stuff around his house?
The answer is yes. In fact, there was a dramatic example, in February of the year 2003, on the eve of the Gulf War, of Secretary Powell at the Security Council in the United Nations, whereby he held a tiny vial, just not much bigger than his pinky, and he said, there's powder in here, a teaspoonful. This much powder, he said, which, although it wasn't really anthrax in his case, this much powder, hold for 1 second, I'm going to have to switch phones because I'm losing the battery on this one. Hold on.
Okay. So you're in a cave too, huh, Leonard?
Here we are.
There you go.
This much anthrax, he said to the Security Council, was enough to shut down the United States Senate. Well, the truth is, he exaggerated, but he exaggerated on the underside. Not only a teaspoon of the equivalent size of a teaspoon of anthrax shut down the Senate, but the entire Congress. And for periods of time, in the weeks after the discovery of the anthrax in Senator Tom Daschle's office, not only the Capitol, not only the Congress was closed down, portions of the Pentagon that had not been destroyed by 9/11 were also shut down, as well as parts of other buildings, including the Federal Reserve Building, and the Supreme Court was evacuated. So, yes, a person can walk around with a little bit of anthrax powder in a glass vial. We would assume that it would be sealed tightly. Take it to a variety of locations and release it. It's a scary thought, but it is technically possible.